Luke chapter 5. The verses I'd like to focus on this evening are the verses 5 and 6. Luke 5, verses 5 and 6. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net break, or was breaking, or was near to breaking. The miracles which the Savior wrought were not confined to the healing of the sick and the diseased. We have already considered the miracle which the Savior wrought at the marriage supper in the Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And then there was the day when, with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, the Lord fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. There he stood that day, multiplying the loaves of fishes and the bread which he held in his hand, that everyone in that multitude went away fed and filled. There he showed that day that he is the great creator, because the Lord created the fish and he created the bread as he stood before that multitude and not only fed the people, the multitude, perhaps up to 20,000. He also filled those 12 baskets with the fragments that was left over. And you recall also when he went to the land of Gadara, he faced a legion of devils that had taken possession of a poor soul, a poor individual. But we know that the devil to Jesus must bow. And in delivering that poor possessed man, Christ stood there as a mighty conqueror, conquering a legion of devils. Now here is another miracle wrought by Christ, which certainly did not involve sickness or disease or any other physical affliction. Here is a miracle which involved the fish of the sea, as we've read there in verses 5 and 6. So here is not only his miracle working power in the change that he made of the situation in the marriage supper in Cana of Galilee, and we see his miracle working power as the great creator of supplies when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and he's the great conqueror of Satan when he delivered legion. And here we see in this miracle that he is the great commander of the seas, commanding the fish to come into the net that had been let down by Peter. He is the great miracle worker. He's the great miracle worker. And you know something? In the words of Paul, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's still working miracles. You think of souls being saved. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of grace. When a dead soul is enabled to live, receive life, and be given life more abundantly. So let us consider this miracle of the great raft of fishes. And we see, first of all, the preaching of Christ. That's how the chapter begins. That's how this miracle is introduced to us. in the opening verse of Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. The Lord Jesus was a preacher. Among other things, that's why he was sent. He was sent to preach the word. If you look at chapter 4 of Luke, in the verse 43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Therefore am I sent. I'm sent to preach the kingdom of God. And when we turn to Romans, in Romans chapter 10, there we read in the verse 15, Romans 10, verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The Lord was sent to do that very thing. And he saith unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Christ was sent to preach the word. And he preached in synagogues, he preached in towns, he preached in villages, he preached in cities, he preached by the roadside. And now we find him standing by the lake Gennesaret. We are told, preaching the word of God, verse 1. Reminding us of the words of the prophet, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Here was Christ sowing the good seed of the gospel beside the waters of the lake Gennesaret. Well, here the Lord sowing the good seed of the gospel beside the waters of Lake Gennesaret. And his preaching is always blessed. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Preaching of Christ is always blessed. Because as a result of his preaching there by the lake, we read that a great multitude came unto him. And as a result of that preaching and the gathering of that multitude, the Lord wrought a great miracle. May the Lord be pleased to bless the preaching here and work miracles in the lives of those who hear the word of God. Namely, that miracle we've already mentioned, even the new birth, the salvation of dead souls made to live. Regarding the preaching of Christ, we see first of all the assembly. Wherever the Savior went, the great multitudes came to hear him. Matthew 4, verse 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. The multitudes came to hear him. Because he was a Spirit-anointed preacher. We know that from Luke 4, verse 18. Where the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach. He was a simple preacher. His was simple preaching because we are told in Mark 12, verse 37, the common people heard him gladly. The ordinary man in the street heard Christ gladly because he spoke their language. So he was simple in his preaching. He was a strong preacher. Because his words disturbed hell. Look there at Luke chapter 3 and verse 34. The unclean who cried out, saying, let us alone, stone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And the Saviour rebuked that unclean devil. So the preaching of the Lord was strong preaching. It disturbed hell. He was, of course, a sound preacher. Matthew 7, verse 28, we read, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. He was a doctrinal preacher. He didn't give to the people little homilies, little stories. He gave them sound doctrine. So he was a spirit-anointed preacher. He was a simple preacher. He was a strong preacher. He was a sound preacher. That's why the people came in their multitudes to hear him. For it was not only what he said, but it was how he said it. Because John 7, verse 46, we read the testimony of the officers of the Pharisees when they were sent to arrest him. They came back empty-handed, saying, "Never man spake like this man." So we need not be surprised at such an assembly that gathered at the Lake of Gennesaret, where the people were blessed by a great ministry. But soon they would behold a great miracle. As well as the assembly, we notice also the attraction. Just reiterating what we have already learned about the preaching of Christ, we see what attracted the people, what brought them to that place, what brought them unto him. Yes, it was the presence of the Savior, and it was also the preaching of the Savior. Look again at verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." That's why. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. That was the attraction. That's what attracted them. The people didn't need anything else to draw them to that place. And how very different things are today. How sad that so many people are not interested in going to a place of worship to simply sit down and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. They're not interested in that, so many people today. And so pastors and ministers feel that they must add to the preaching. They must supplement the preaching of the word with gimmicks, with games, and with gifts. That's right. A number of years ago, a preacher in America, one of these men that strives to have a mega church and will do anything and everything to make up the numbers, so they can boast of so many hundred or so many thousand. And one of his gimmicks was that under every chair in his church, there was a box containing a mystery gift. And the people were told, if you come to church, you'll get a gift. You'll receive a mystery gift. That's what brought the people in. It wasn't the preaching of the word. They hadn't come to sit down and simply spend an hour worshiping the Lord and listening to the preaching of God's word. No, they wanted something else. That's the way it is today. People want something else. The word of God is not enough. There's no probability. If there's gimmicks and games and gifts, then the word of God is not being preached at all. So something else must be used. The people don't come to hear the word of God. It's not the fault of the word. This book, this Bible, this gospel can stand on its own. Doesn't need to be supplemented. Doesn't need to be added to. It is the word of God. Turn to Ezekiel. And there in Ezekiel, in the chapter 2, in verse 4, see, there's nothing new under the sun, even as Solomon has declared. There's nothing new under the sun. As it is today, so it was in the days of Ezekiel. Look at chapter 2 of Ezekiel, and there we read in verse 4. For they are impudent, children, and stiff-necked. I do send thee unto them. Ezekiel, the prophet, I send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. There's the word of God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, ye shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Notice the words of that verse 7. Thou shalt speak my words unto them. There's nothing else mentioned there. I send you among them, and thou shalt speak my word unto them. It was the word of God. It was the truth of God. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and nothing else. Nothing else. Yeah, we gather in the Lord's house. We open in prayer. We sing our psalms. We sing our hymns. We praise the Lord. That's what we are to do. But as we said in our opening prayer, the central act of our worship is the preaching of the word. That stands head and shoulders above everything else. It is the preaching of the word. That's where all the focus ought to be. On the preaching of the word. And we go to the Lord's house to hear the preaching of the word, to listen to the preaching of the word. That's why the multitudes gathered at the Sea of the Lake of Gennesaret, to hear the preaching of the word. That's why the multitudes gathered there. And so we'll continue by God's grace to preach the word. And I thank you for your support in preaching the word. That as you come to the Lord's house, you're not coming to participate in some program or other, or to see some pantomime or other, but to hear the word. May that always be. May it always be that way. May the Lord ever give us an ear for the word of God. So that's what attracted the people. There's the assembly, there's the attraction, and then there is the action. Note the words. The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. There's the action. The people pressed upon him. That's why I had to commandeer Peter's boat, because the people were getting nearer and nearer to him. They were pressing in upon him as he preached the word of God. In other words, as the Savior preached the word, the people were drawn nearer to Christ. They pressed upon him. That's the effect that the word, the preaching of the word of God has. If we come to the Lord's house with a heart that's ready and prepared to receive the word, if we come to the Lord's house simply to hear the word of God, with the prayer, Lord, apply that word to my heart. You know the effect that'll have? It'll draw us nearer to Christ. That's what the preaching of the word does. All those things that we've mentioned, gimmicks and games and gifts and all the rest of it, will not draw any soul nearer to Christ. It'll not. It'll satisfy the flesh. It'll do absolutely nothing for the soul. Not draw any soul nearer to the Lord. It will always be the case where there's the faithful preaching of the word of God that will draw men to the Savior. That's what happened here at the lake. They pressed upon him. They got nearer and nearer to him as he preached the word. It doesn't matter what promotions or programs a church may have, or who the pastor is, or who the preacher is. If he doesn't preach Christ, and he doesn't declare the unadulterated word of God, the worshiper in that church will not be drawn to Christ. It's the preaching of the word, as we see here. That's why Paul declared to the Corinthian believers, we preach Christ crucified. There it is. We preach Christ crucified. That's the message. That's the ministry here. And may it always be so. As well as the preaching of Christ, we see that that led to the precept of Christ. As the Savior preached the word of God, he was willing to do so standing by the lake Gennesaret. If you like, he was an open-air preacher. Then he was willing to commandeer a fisherman's boat and make that his pulpit. Verse 2, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The ship became his pulpit. And then we read there in the verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Here you have, first of all, the orders. Look carefully. The Lord gave to Peter two orders. We see the Savior gave two orders to Peter. First of all, he said, thrust out a little from the land. Then he said, launch out into the deep. The first order, thrust out a little from the land. The first order was easy enough to obey. Just push your boat out a little from the land. Too far. The second order was a little more difficult. Hey, launch out into the deep. Why was it a little more difficult? Well, why would the fishermen launch out into the deep after they had toiled all the night and caught nothing? Their experience told them daytime was the wrong time to do any fishing. That's why they had labored all the night. We see that taught also in John 21, where Peter and six other disciples, Peter, you remember, said, "I go a-fishing." The others said, "We go also with thee." Well, they labored all night, caught nothing. Well, here they did the same. They labored all night. So we gather from those two references, nighttime was the time for fishing, not the daytime. And yet here is the Lord. And he tells Peter, launch out into the deep. So Simon said, nevertheless, he says, we labored all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter had passed the first test when the Lord said, go out a little from the shore. He passed that test. That was the easy one. Now we find that he passes the second test because he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Had Peter not thrust out a little from the shore, he surely would not have launched out the deep. Does this not show us the importance of obeying the Lord in the little things in life? In the simple things, as well as the weightier matters. If we are not faithful and obedient in the little things, we needn't expect the Lord to lead us to greater things. Peter was obedient in the little thing, that is, he went out a little from the shore. What did that lead to? It led him to obey the Lord to launch out into the deep. What did that lead to? It led to a great draught of fishes. If he had not obeyed the first order, he most certainly would not have obeyed the second order. The first order was simple, go out a little. So he had gone out a little. And then the Lord said, launch out into the deep. This reminds us of the words of the Lord in Luke 19 and verse 17. The Lord said, well, thou good servant, thou art a good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Thou hast been faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? See? He was faithful in a little, and he was given a position where he'd be over, have authority over 10 cities. That's the message that the prophet Jeremiah preached. For we read in Jeremiah 12, and there in verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee. Then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, Jeremiah is saying, if you fail in the little things, if thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee, Jeremiah says, well then, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, in time of peace, and you're weary, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? When the greater test comes, you'll not be able to cope. That's the lesson here. Peter went out a little from the land. He obeyed in the first part, in the simple part. And because he obeyed in the simple part, going out a little from the land, he was then able to launch out into the deep. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This reminds us of the words in Ezekiel 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, even if it's a little thing, do it with thy might. Because you never know what it will lead to. As well as the orders, we notice also the objection. Sometimes the Lord will order us to do something which to human reasoning does not make any sense. These fishermen knew that fishing was not carried on in the daytime. They were fishermen. They had years of experience. And yet the Lord said, let down the nets for a draught. And really to Peter and the others, that didn't make sense. They had, as Peter said, we have toiled all night. We have labored all night. We have caught nothing. All night. Best time for fishing, and we have caught nothing. Yet here's the Lord saying, let down your net for a draught of fishes. We have seen in our study thus far of the miracles, we have seen what the Lord told the servants to do at the marriage supper in Cana of Galilee. The host and the guests, wine. And yet what did the Lord tell them to do? The Lord told them to fill 6 water pots with wine. No, with water. But they needed wine. Yet the Lord said, fill them up with water. Didn't make sense. But then we read, and they filled them up to the brim. John 2, verse 7. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will fill the water pots. We know how their obedience was rewarded, because the Lord turned the water into wine. And we see how Peter's obedience was rewarded with a great draught of fishes. What was Abraham told to do? He was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now that was a true act of faith. Abraham didn't go out and sort of spy out the land and say, oh, where are the best to go? No, he didn't. He was called to go out. He depended completely upon the Lord revealing to him where he should go. He went out not knowing whether he. At first it didn't make sense, did it? Didn't make sense to Abraham. For the Lord didn't show him until he took the step of faith. And he went out. And it was after he had taken that step of faith that the Lord showed him. Let the word of the Lord always govern our lives. Nevertheless, at thy word, let us do as the Lord tells us. Not try and work it all out ourselves. Because the Lord's the one who knows the end from the beginning. After the order and the objection, we have the obedience. Peter may have objected at first, but obedience prevailed. At least partially. He didn't 100% obey the Lord. Because Peter did not completely obey the Lord's order. The Lord ordered Peter, let down your nets for a draught. Notice the Lord's word. Let down your nets, plural. Whatever nets you have, Peter, let your nets down. But what did Peter do? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He only partially obeyed the Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Perhaps Peter did not hear exactly what the Savior said. We could make an excuse for Peter and say, well, maybe Peter just didn't hear exactly what he said. Well, there's a lesson there for us to learn. Let us make sure we listen carefully to the word of the Lord. That we have our ear open to the word of the Lord. But then on the other hand, perhaps Peter did not let down the nets because there was doubt there. Well, we have labored all night and caught nothing. No point letting down the nets. I'll let down one net. There was a lack of faith on the part of Peter. And you think of it. Had Peter obeyed the Lord fully, had Peter done exactly what the Lord told him to do, let down your nets, what would have happened? He would have had a greater draft of fishes. So his lack of obedience meant that Peter missed out. Oh, they had a great draft of fishes anyway. But perhaps they would have caught even more fish. See, we miss out. We miss out when we don't obey the Lord fully. We're the ones who miss out. It always pays to obey the Lord fully. Completely. when we don't faithfully obey the Lord's word, as I said, we'll lose out. So we've seen the orders, seen the objection, we've seen the obedience. Next we see the omnipotence. Omnipotence is a word that means the power of God. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. I know that every miracle the Lord ever wrought can be described as amazing. And certainly this one was no exception. Every miracle demonstrates the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus, who is God. The Lord filled that net in spite of the hour, in spite of the fact it was the wrong time to fish. The Lord filled the net even though Peter and the others had toiled all night and caught nothing. The Lord filled the net, obviously knowing the fish were there. The Lord filled the net by bringing the fish into the net. This reminds us of another incident involving fish. Would you turn with me to Matthew 17? We may stand in amazement when we behold and study and consider the miracles of Christ, but consider this one. Matthew 17. And we read verse 24, just to get the context. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding," look at this, "notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast in an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh out. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take, and give unto them for me and thee." That's a miracle. The Lord knew the fish was there. The Lord knew the fish had a piece of money in its mouth. The Lord knew that when Peter would cast his rod, that would be the fish that he would catch. Because the Lord said, "Go thou to the sea, cast in an hook, and take the fish that first cometh up." First fish, the Lord knew that fish had money in its mouth to pay tribute. Isn't that amazing? That demonstrates for us the omnipotence of Christ. He's all powerful. It also demonstrates the omniscience of Christ. That means he's all-knowing. He knows all things. And the Lord knew In that stretch of water, there was one fish in particular that had money in its mouth. The Lord knew that whenever Peter cast in a hook, that's the fish he would catch. The Lord knew that would be the first fish he would catch. The Lord knew the fish was there. The Lord knew Peter would catch that particular fish. The Lord knew a piece of money would be found in its mouth. He is omnipotent and he is omniscient. He knows all things. Praise the Lord. And the Lord knew when he told Peter, let down your nets. The Lord knew the fish were there. But Peter just let down the net. He missed out. We come now to, after considering the preaching of Christ, the precepts of Christ, and telling Peter what to do, we come to the preeminence of Christ. After Peter and his partners had drawn the great draught of fishes, we see how Peter, first of all, was smitten by Christ. Smitten by Christ. Look at verse 9. Verse 8. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. He was astonished. The words mean astonishment laid hold of him. He was gripped by astonishment. Peter was smitten by Christ. And he fell at the Savior's knees. The greatness of Christ, the grace of Christ, the goodness of Christ had brought him to his knees. The Lord had favored him with his presence there in his boat. The Lord had filled his boat with a multitude of fishes so that Peter could have said with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Genesis 32, verse 10. That's how Peter felt when he fell at the feet of Christ, smitten by the Lord's goodness, smitten by the Lord's grace, perhaps smitten by his own unbelief, when he let down a net instead of letting down the nets. And when the Lord manifests his power to us, there's only one place for us. That's down at the feet of Christ. Peter was smitten by Christ. Peter then and the other disciples were led into service for Christ. It was there at the Lake Gennesaret that Peter and the others were again called to service. I'll not take time to go through the references. But from what I can gather from the study of the Gospels, this is now the third time that Peter and the others were called. They were at the lake, they were at the Sea of Galilee when they were first called. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, here we find in Luke 5, they're back at the fishing again. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. And I believe this was the third time that they were called. And third time that they went and followed Christ. Look at verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. They were called to the service of Christ. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And what an incentive this was to be a soul winner. When the Lord showed Peter how he was able to fill his net with fish, well, then the Lord could fill Peter's gospel net with souls. I will make you fishers of men. No doubt there were times when Peter labored long hours in the gospel and took nothing. Yet he had that promise. If he kept laboring, from henceforth, the Lord said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. You'll be a soul winner, Peter. So as well as him being smitten by Christ, called into the service of Christ, we see his and the other disciples surrendered to Christ. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. This time they forsook all and followed him. Called to service, chosen to be a fisher of men. Here we see what it's what the Lord expects of us, that we forsake all and follow him. And when we follow him, he'll make us fishers of men also, because he is the mighty conqueror. He's the commander of the seas. Praise his name. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, our God, we thank thee for the word, for thy word. 'Tis the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for gathering us here tonight to hear the word of God. A word that will draw us nearer to Christ. Even like the people, they pressed upon him. They got nearer and nearer until the dear Savior had to step into the ship and make that his pulpit. And O Lord, as thou didst call Peter and the others to be fishers of men, Lord, make us fishers of men also. May we go out with the gospel net and seek to win the lost for the Savior. Lord, bring the fish into the net, we pray. Bless us now as we leave the Lord's house. May we leave with the Lord's house with thy word in our hearts. In our hearts. May we not forget the word. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.